Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. The title of our thoughts tonight simply is this: what if our church was just like you? What if our church was just like you? The title of this lesson makes for an uncomfortable question, does it not? Because what if our church was just like me? If the whole church had my attitude, my thoughts, my convictions? If you would, the book of Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Notice, I was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And now verses 19 and 20. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit as he moves and directs, and for the love of the Father who sent the Son to die for us. Lord, now bless us as we look at these seven churches. And Lord, as we ponder the question, what if the church was just like me? And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. The message to the seven churches has a fourfold application. First, local, to the churches actually addressed. And we read that list there in verse 11 of Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis, Philadelphia and Laodicea. Second is cautionary. In other words, to all churches in all time as tests by which they may discern their true spiritual state in the sight of God. Now, if we were to ask the Covenant Baptist Church is best represented by which of these seven churches? Now, there are only two that we really want it to be named after, Philadelphia being the first. But cautionary, number three, personal. In the exhortations to him that hath an ear, and in the promises to him that overcometh. So it's personal. And we know that at the end of the chapter 3, we find that he that openeth the door, the Lord's going to come in and sup with. And so it's personal. And then prophetic. As disclosing seven phases of the spiritual history of the church from, say, AD 98 to the end of the church age. And so it's four different applications. Number one. A faltering church. We'll begin in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. A faltering church. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Wouldn't it be nice if it ended right there? Wouldn't it be nice if that period at the end of verse 3 was the end of what was being said to the church at Ephesus? But sadly, it is not. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We find here, I know thy works. He knows the works of the Covenant Baptist Church. And as the question says, what if our church was just like you? He knows our works. He knows who we are. He says, nevertheless, and the word nevertheless, a combination of three words, also means however, yet, regardless, or notwithstanding, thou hast left thy first love. Notice, not lost, but left. You know, there are times in which we'd like to say, oh, I lost something, when reality, we left it. We left it behind. But he says, repent, or I will remove thy candlestick. What does a candlestick produce? Light. And if a church no longer produces light, it's useless. It's good for nothing. We must be a light in a dark world. Number two, an overcoming church. An overcoming church, beginning at verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. But none of those things which thou shalt suffer, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, but ye may be tried, or that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You know, I like the red letter edition, but sometimes it's hard to read with the glare of the light. But anyways, a faltering church. Again, I know thy works. As we see there in verses 8 and 9, they have here tribulations and poverty. You know, sometimes the world may think we're poor, but it really doesn't matter what the world thinks. What does God think? What does the Lord think? He says, but thou art rich. And we read verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Notice he doesn't say, I'm going to take away the suffering. He just says, fear not those things that thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Notice then, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. See, what he says to the church at Smyrna, we should all take to heart. Be thou faithful unto death. One out of one dies, You're going to die. Now, we don't know when. You think it could be tonight? Well, I guarantee you, if we thought it was going to be tonight, we'd have some different thoughts about tonight, wouldn't we? Yes. You know what I'd like to eat tonight after service? I'd like to eat some pizza. Wouldn't that be nice? Yes. No, that wouldn't be nice. Well, I think it'd be good. Yes. But anyways, be thou faithful unto death. Is that a good encouragement right now? Be thou faithful unto death. Number three, a compromising church. Compromising. When do we compromise and when do we say, no, I will not do that? Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast to my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee. Isn't that a sad thought? I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I know thy works. What do you think that means when each time we find to the church, I know thy works? No hiding it, folks. He knows what the Covenant Baptist Church is doing and where thou dwellest. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've heard of the Faith Baptist Church of Hollywood, California. How about the First Baptist Church of Las Vegas or even Atlantic City? Folks, there are places in our country. I mean, what is Las Vegas called? Sin City? You know, that there are places in our country that are sinful, where Satan dwells. And there are places that he has control. Verse 14, a few things against thee. Schofield writes, Pergamos represents the church settled down in the world. Settled down in the world. Shouldn't the church give the world discomfort? And yet how many churches today mingle with the world as if there is nothing between us that is different? We're to be different. We are to be different. Notice the doctrines of Balaam, worldliness, worldliness. That's what Balaam told Barak to do, just offer them worldliness. And that's what they did. And the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate, Jesus says, to conquer the people. It's what the name means, to conquer the people. What in Ephesus was deeds has now become a doctrine in Pergamos. 100 years or so, 200 years, and things have changed. And it's amazing how quickly a gospel-preaching church can go to being just the church that meets. Number four, a church that tolerated false teaching. That tolerated false teaching, beginning at verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame, a fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. I know thy works. I know thy charity. I know thy service. I know thy faith, and again, thy patience, and thy works. Twice I know thy works, and the last is more than the first. All these good things, I see what you're doing, and yet I still have a few things against thee. Thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel. Dr. Fleming just briefly mentioned Jezebel in the morning Bible thoughts on a verse. And here we find Jezebel mentioned again. Schofield says, as Jezebel brought idolatry into Israel, so Romanism wed Christian doctrines to pagan ceremonies. And we know from missionaries who have come that the Roman church has brought together pagan thoughts as well as Christian thoughts. We're about to celebrate one. Because Christ wasn't born in December. And yet, that's when the winter solstice is. Time of lights. Now, don't you like lights? I like lights. And so we find the marrying of Christian doctrines to pagan ceremonies. Notice, to teach and seduce my servants. And again, the thought is repent. Repent. In verse 25, hold fast. You know, it's important that we hold fast to that which is right, to that which is true, to hold fast to that which is precious to us. Can I say this to you? This should be precious to you. This should be precious. And the Bible being taught in our church is precious. And there are some churches where the Bible is no longer taught, and things of the Bible are denied. Number five, a dead church. I fear that more than any of these other things. A dead church. See, if you've left your first love, can you go back and get it? Yeah. If you have gone in certain directions that are wrong, can you go back and do it right? Yes. But if you're a dead church, how do you revive yourself? How do you get going again? Chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. May I say this, that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. The Covenant Baptist Church is known around the world. Not because of any great things that this pastor has done, but because of the giving to missions. Be it in Thailand, or be it in Russia, or be it in New Zealand, or be it in many other countries of the world, we have a name. But wouldn't it be sad if all we were known for was the fact that we gave to missions? Because there's more to do than just that. There's a job to be done here in the Sterling Heights area and the surrounding cities. He says, be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You have a plant at your house that someone gave to you. Let's say an orchid. Somebody bought you an orchid for a special day, and they brought it over, and it's so pretty, and you watch it. And one thing about orchids, the flowers stay around for a long time. It's well worth the money. But then it begins to wilt, and you're trying whatever to try to make it live, and you're hoping and hoping. Isn't it sad when you finally have to, on garbage day, throw it away? Yes. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if the Lord would say, well, it's dead. Got to move on. Remember, it says in verse 3. Remember what you've received. Repent. Because you still have a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. I remember when I was in high school, it's football season, and you could tell the players that played, because their uniforms were what? Dirty. But there would be a few players that were on the team, and I'm glad that they were on the team, better them than me, and their uniforms were still white, clean. In that case, it meant they weren't in the game. In this case, we want white uniforms because it means that we are pure, that we are right, and we want to do that which is right and not defile our garments. Verse 6, a faithful but weak church. Now, the only reason I'm saying it's a weak church is because the scripture says that it has little strength. Beginning at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I know thy works. Thou hast kept my word. God's word is important to him. It's important to him. And you haven't denied my name. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Enough said. Oh, to be like the church of Philadelphia. Which brings us to number 7. What do you think we're going to call this church? The lukewarm church. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous. What does zealous mean?
On fire?
On fire? Could be. I think it right here means do it now. Don't delay. Get it done. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. They were going through the motions. And I think sometimes we're going through the motions. We gather here on a Sunday morning and we go through the motions and we leave and I think, Lord, what was accomplished? What was accomplished? They were self-deceived. They thought they were rich and they were increased with goods and had need of nothing. But the churches today, they've diluted the music. They've diluted the scriptures. They have female clergy. There's the welcoming of homosexual clergy. And even of same-sex marriages. Oh, they are welcome to come. But the fact is, as we preach the scriptures, and as the Holy Spirit convicts souls, change needs to take place. Verse 19, as many as I love. You know, that's a gentle thought from our Lord. Do you remember when your dad was about to give you a whipping? And he would said, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I never believed him. Never, ever once did I believe that. But I rebuke and chasten. I believe it's important that we judge ourselves by these two chapters. But what if our church was just like you? In conclusion, verses 20 through 22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What's that imply? I stand at the door and knock. Yes, Cindy? He's outside the church. Yes. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Our church has a doorbell. It's not working right now. Needs a new battery. What good is that doorbell? None. The reason I realized that is a while back, someone was ringing the doorbell, and And I had to go down, and they said, I've been ringing the doorbell for, and they told me, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, it's not working. And sometimes I think we ought to take it off. But wouldn't it be sad if the Lord is ringing the doorbell of the Covenant Baptist Church, and we're inside busy, going through the motions, and not really accomplishing anything? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. What a graceful thought. Aren't you glad for second chances and third chances and 12th chances and 53rd chances and 465th chances? What if our church was just like me? That's a scary thought. Shall we stand together? 470, I have decided to follow Jesus.